Hello, everyone. This is your host. Welcome to Crackers and Milk. This is your host, David. And I am joined by Brian and Jacob.
Whoops.
It's okay, Dave. It's okay.
Yeah, that's what editing's for, right? That's always what editing's for. Okay, today we are going to be talking about Ender's Game. That came out in 2013, November 1st, 2013. Here is the synopsis of it. When hostile aliens called the Formix attack Earth, only the legendary heroics of Mazer Rackham, Sir Ben Kingsley, managed to attain a victory. To prepare for the next attack, Colonel Hiram Graff, Harrison Ford, and his cohorts initiated a military program to find the next Mazer. Recruit Ender Wiggum, or Andrew Ender Wiggum, played by Asa Butterfield, exhibits the unusual gift for the training, easily mastering all of the challenges thrown at him. Mazer Rackham himself takes Ender as a protege to prepare him for the oncoming war. So with that, here's the competition for that year, or when Ender came out. You have Dallas Buyers Club, the one with Matthew McConaughey.
Jared Leto.
That won a bunch of awards.
Yeah.
Then Ender's Game, then Free Birds. That one was, I think that was the Owen Wilson turkey one.
Yeah, that's about turkeys escaping around Thanksgiving.
Then you have Last Vegas, the one with the old guys, like Morgan Freeman and all them. The Book Thief, Hunger Games, the first one, I think. The Best Man Holiday, Frozen came out.
Okay.
Anchorman 2, and then Mandela Long Walk. That was with
Ilba?
Yeah.
Idris Ilba?
Yeah.
I probably butchered it, but
yeah.
Close. Mm-hmm. Closer than you, Dave.
Oh, way close. And then in December. Hobbit 2, American Hustle, Saving Mr. Banks, Wolf of Wall Street, Walter Mitty, and The Lone Survivor. Those are the only ones that I really recognized or I watched.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, Hobbit, Hunger Games, I can see.
Yeah, I was going to say it's the Hunger Games and Frozen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Hobbit 2. And the one that I saw that month of December is, or the two is, Saving Mr. Banks in theater, and then Walter Mitty.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like those two. Well, shows.
I enjoyed those two movies, but
so here is the top 10 that year: Frozen, Iron Man 3, Despicable Me 2, Hobbit 2, Hunger Games. I don't know which one it was. I think it was just the first one. And then Fast and Furious 3 or 6. I think I missed with that. And then Monsters University, Gravity, Man of Steel, and Thor 2.
Okay.
Those were the top 10. So Frozen was right there when it came out.
A phenomenon.
Yeah.
Catching Fire was 2013.
Two?
Yeah.
That was two.
Yep.
Okay. That's two. And then Fast and Furious, whatever that one was. And then the director was Gavin Hood. And he was known for X-Men Originals, the Wolverine rendition, a film called Rendition, I don't know. And then In Desert and Wilderness. And then like we talked about, the stars is Harrison Ford, but Viola Davis was in there. Abigail Breslin was in there. Haley Steinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sir Ben Kingsley, of course, and then Asa Butterfield, and the music was Steve Jobolowsky. He did Transformers 1 through 5, The Island, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. I think that's the second one,
the Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then Dark, Deep Water Horizon, Ants, Chicken Run, Pearl Harbor, and Spirit, the Stallion movie.
You love that movie, Dave.
Oh, yeah, I like that movie. No, I love the music. Brian Adams did a great job.
great job.
Did. And that, like, I will say, out of the three, that these next three, I would say Ender's Game is the better soundtrack, personally speaking.
Okay.
My humble opinion on that one. But, yeah. Okay, so what did you guys think of the movie, Ender's Game? I did a lot of research on this. I listened to Ender's Game, the book, because I never read it. And then I listened to Ender's Shadow.
The Bean Story.
The Bean Story. And, well, the reason I listened to that one is because at the end of Ender's Game, Orson Scott Card, he talked about how Ender's Game, the movie, he was writing screenplays after screenplays and just wouldn't work. Like, he was just, it was too much, too many pages. And then someone told him, combine Ender's Game and Ender's Shadow. And then after he did that, it worked. And so it was like, oh, that's interesting. Very interesting on that one.
So I've read the book.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's multiple different versions of the book. Mm-hmm. There, it started out as a short story, and then, but I felt that it followed very closely to the book. Like, it was like seeing the book, like, perfectly.
Yeah. Like, in listening to the book and then, replaying some of it in my mind, like, the movie in my mind, I thought that. I thought, like, the only thing that was a little confusing was the end and how they destroyed the bugger world at that time in this game. But then with Ender's Shadow, it kind of clarified that for me a little bit more, where I was like, oh, yeah, I get that. It makes more sense now. Makes more sense.
Yeah.
Like, and then with Bean's backstory, it was just by far fascinating with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I felt Asa Butterfield did a pretty good job with Ender. And, like, he's got the violence of his brother, but the smarts of his sister.
Yeah.
He was... The book goes into more how they call him Ender because people aren't supposed to have three kids. I don't understand why, if that many people died in the first attack, why they can't have more kids. But, yeah, so that's why his nickname is Ender, because... He was supposed to be not even there. So,
and like one thing that I found too is like the religions of both of them and are the parents, because they did have the restrictions, but they both came from religions where you can have as many kids as you want. Like the dad was Catholic and the mom was Mormon or a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And that was interesting. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. So, yeah. So, yeah, it was fun listening to it and like, getting more in depth with it, personally speaking.
I did not read the book, and I didn't even know there was one until we talked about it. Well, after I saw the movie. And I had no expectations. I mean, I had gone and seen all those other movies and fantastic, you know, Catching Fire, Hobbit. Yeah. All those movies are great, and had zero expectation for Ender Game watching it. I just wanted to see a good sci-fi movie, and I got in the theater, man. I was way pleasantly surprised. I didn't know Asa Butterfield all that well. And, you know, Harrison Ford, you know him. A couple of the other actors, actresses. But for the most part, the cast isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Like the bully.
Yeah.
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 He's from, I saw him in a Disney Channel series.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say he looked familiar to me.
I want to say it was like Wizards of Waverly Place or something. And he was kind of a goofy kid, and seeing him in that role, being super, super aggressive and super mean to Ender, was pretty, pretty intense.
Yeah.
I thought all in all the cast did great. The story seemed like it ran really well.
Oh, yeah.
But I do believe that it had some pretty tough competition.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I think this one is more about competition.
I really think it is, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think standalone, it's a fun movie, and I feel that, you know, they left quite a bit open.
Oh, yeah.
To be able to do something else. But when you're going up against those giants that it was going up against, that's pretty tough to make some money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So true. So true. Like, I saw that. Like, the competition, I'm like, oh, no wonder that they lost.
Yeah.
Like, no wonder it just, like, it did make money, right? Yeah. It made $10 million.
But in the grand scheme of things, that's not a lot.
Yeah, that's not enough to say, you need to make another one.
Yeah.
You need to make another one. So, yeah, it was, I don't know. It would have been fun, but, and like, one thing that I, with the thing, with the audiobook, Orson Scott Card did say that everybody wanted to have it turned into, enter into a 16-year-old and have a love interest. And he's like, no.
That wouldn't have been good.
It wouldn't have made sense in that type of scheme and what they're trying to do because, like,
right.
Relationships kind of like.
Well, I feel that the girl. I feel that the girl that was somewhat of a love interest.
Yeah.
I felt it was more of a sister figure because him and his sister were so close.
Yeah.
And having her there made things go a lot easier for Ender because of all the torture he went through.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Bonzo. Bonzo.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you guys think of? Oh, I don't know his name, but I always think of him in a Disney Channel, like, you know, like as Bonzo. I think he was okay, but he was like just a lot too short. But he was vicious.
He wasn't a very imposing looking figure.
No.
He was smaller than everybody else.
Yeah.
But he was pretty intense.
That's kind of why he was hyper, you know?
Yeah.
Because I forget how the book describes him, but that's kind of how I pictured him.
Bonzo?
Yeah. Like, now I know Napoleon was tall for his age, but he's got the Napoleon complex. I'm going to be tougher than everybody else.
Mm. Yeah. And he asserted his authority.
Right.
The whole movie, I feel. Well, and then in the book, from what I remember, it's Spanish pride. Like, they talked about Spanish pride in it.
Mm.
And, like, he'd be offended, like, if you just said something, it's like everybody would, he'd be offended.
Yeah.
No matter what.
So, in the book, a large portion of it is the battle school.
Yeah.
And I was glad to see that a large part of the movie was battle school because that's by far the best part.
Yeah.
When he's formating the battle plans and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked how they did the last battle with.
Yeah.
They did that formation and just kind of, oh, that was pretty cool.
That was way cool.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I also put yourself into it and you feel that would be, I mean, it'd be intense, but that'd be kind of fun to be able to train like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, like in thinking, like doing zero, being in zero gravity and like not having, like the little motions would screw you up if you were thinking other ways or if you're trying to think of how to move in gravity instead of like, okay, we can't really do that. So that was really interesting.
So it kind of did it in the movie, but Ender and Bean are the only ones who picture it as going down when everybody else is trying to go across.
Yeah.
And that helps them with their battle plans because nobody had thought of that before.
Yeah.
Right.
And that formation is kind of what he did in his final game, if you will, where he surrounded the ship with all the drones to go in and to attack the planet.
Yeah, like you... Yeah, like if you really pay attention to the movie, it's like, oh, it's just the same formation. But it was a cool way too. Yeah.
Well, that flipped me. Is that end at the final game?
Yeah.
And then they turned it into where it was actual.
He was the actual commander. In charge.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, I guess.
Yeah.
But, pretty cool. Yeah. And it's kind of crazy how they're thinking of. Him being I wouldn't say the savior, but you know what I mean? That's like their best chance of winning this war is him, a young kid.
Yeah. who's been, because of his reaction to the bully on Earth, he gets into battle school, and because of his reaction to the bully there, he gets into command school.
Yep.
So in the book, it implies that he kills both of them.
Yeah.
Just on how violent he was towards them. Mm-hmm. And he was just saying, I wasn't winning just that battle. I was winning all the battles in the future.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. And like they mentioned, like they bring that, they do a lot of that in the book with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say this was probably one of the better adaptions from book to movie.
Oh, definitely.
Like, mm-hmm. like Harry Potter sucks. So,
some of them, some parts, but
they got better as they got on. The first one. Yeah. No way, Harry. Harry.
I've made him. You guys have made an enemy out of me. Enemy.
Okay.
Okay.
I just don't like it.
Great.
Hate them. Hate the movies.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Sounds like a future podcast.
Probably.
Yeah.
Okay. The quote. The whole. I just still don't understand this one. I don't believe. Or where you love your enemy after you get to know them, so you destroy them. What? I didn't understand that. Like, how is that believable? I don't know. I'm just wondering.
So if you understand how somebody really, really thinks, mm-hmm. you can't help but have empathy for why they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so that's what it is.
But why would you destroy them? Because that's what he said, is like, I destroy them. Is it just because it's the enemy?
But I just, yeah, because he understood why those bullies were bullying him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he knew how to beat them because he understood them.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty much, you know yourself, and yet you love yourself, but you hate yourself.
That's a tough quote.
That one, I get it somewhat, but I don't totally understand it.
Okay.
Because I still question it. I still question.
Well, maybe it's something you need to figure out in your life.
Yeah, but if it's an enemy, why would I destroy my enemy if I got to know him? Wouldn't you, like, love them even more and, like, make them better? I don't know. I think it's probably more personality, but, like, if that's what you're going to do. Because in the thing is that you're, like he said in the movie, like, they're training to make sure that you stay aggressive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you that you're feeding that hate and feeding all of that stuff, and so I can see it from that point of view. It's just kind of it's hard for me to like wrap my head around it.
No, I understand.
I don't think you really truly know your enemy until you defeat him.
Really?
Yeah.
Why would you say that?
Well, because you're so focused on defeating him, you don't really get to know him, and then as soon as you defeat him. Then you can understand. Then you, the reason that you do defeat them is because then you understand them.
And understand their weaknesses.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but their strengths. Because you got to understand their strengths in order to stay away from their strengths.
True.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And to truly know somebody is to truly love them, or to truly love someone is to truly know them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that? I mean, maybe that's where that comes from.
True. Okay. Yeah,
and in order to defeat your enemy, you really need to truly know them.
You do. You have to study them.
So
study
so deep.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to. I had to ask about
this week on Deep Thoughts.
We ask the questions of life. You might not like the answers, but they're the truth.
Or you'll just be more confused.
Okay, you've been looking at your phone. What do you like? Do you have? I probably like interrupted a couple of your thoughts.
Nah, I was just reading that quote that you just butchered.
Very butchered. Can you read it for us?
In the moment when I truly understand my enemy, understand him well enough to defeat him, then in that very moment, I also love him.
Oh, yeah, I totally butchered that.
Yes, you did.
So maybe that's why you didn't understand it.
Okay, I get that. I'm willing to accept my mistakes.
Yeah, but you see, and that's an amazing quote out of the movie. That's what I'm trying to tell you is that you've got to truly understand your enemy in order to defeat them.
Yeah.
And when you understand someone, you truly love them. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So I can see what he's saying there, but...
Well, I think the one thing that it's weird for me is why would you destroy them because you love somebody? Why would you destroy them if you love
somebody? He was playing a game.
Well, I get that.
Yeah, it's Ender's game.
It is Ender's game. It is a game. I'm just saying, like, that's the thing that I get caught up on is when you truly love your enemy and you get to know them, or you get to know them and then you truly love your enemy, why would you destroy it? Why would you destroy them? Because, I know it's a game.
Because at that moment, it's the very moment he destroys them, he loves them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Still not making sense?
No, I just have to have time to wrap my head around it. I get that now. As he's destroying them, it's like, I love these people. And just like in the movie, when he does destroy them, and then that he does find out that that's what he really did.
Right.
He had this like massive panic attack. And then he's like, well, why couldn't we do other things? Why?
Yeah.
He's like, no, this is what he did.
He realized that the entire time he was at command school,
men
were dying because of his commands. A whole species died because of his commands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole weight of what he did fell on him in that moment.
That's a little tough to take in.
Especially when you're a young person.
Yeah. I think it's implied in the book that he's like no more than 12.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not very old in the book. And I felt that was believable by Asa Butterfield is very young person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got to battle school, he was young. He was a little bit immature. Then he went to Bonzo's thing. He got a little bit better. And you could see that growth, that development. Yes. And then he gets to become his own commander. And it's like, oh.
The dragons.
Yeah. I would follow that guy too. Like it became a really more believable in that sort of sense.
Yes. So when he hurt Bonzo or whatever, that right when he hurt him, he knew, oh man, what did I just do? I love this guy.
Yeah.
So it was only in the moment when he's lying on the ground
that he truly cared about.
Yes.
Bonzo.
Is it a love or is it more of a respect?
See, I'm trying to wrap my head around this because I'm trying to compare it to sports. Just because, like, when you defeat somebody that you don't like, or like you, I don't know.
When you hear the Queen music.
Or like, I don't know. For sports, for me, I've been pretty emotional. Like, I remember one time I was in a bowling class and we were bowling against these guys, a league, and I didn't like them. I just didn't like them. I don't know why I didn't like them. There's no reason. I think they were a little bit cocky or just arrogant, and I just put headphones in and I beat them. Well, I helped my team win, but it was just, I don't know. Oh, maybe I had a little bit more regard afterwards. Yeah. I don't know. That's what I'm trying to put it in perspective.
Well, I think you're so focused on defeating the other person. And then when it's all over and you have won, you have that relief and that clarity that it really, does it really matter?
To get to know them or the win?
No, the win, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it does that much.
I mean, you're so focused on getting it.
Yeah.
You know, you have that euphoria of getting it, and then all of a sudden it's like,
whatever. It's like, oh, this is what it's supposed to feel like, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Deep thoughts.
Very deep thoughts.
Yeah. Weren't we talking about a movie about a kid playing a game?
That's what
still that, deep yeah, thoughts but, about. But this
see,
movie.
That's I think that's what this movie brings out is it's a little more of a thinker than just a sci-fi shoot 'em movie.
It can be, and then right. you could turn it into a non-thinker and a thinker.
Oh yeah,
like it has that both moral dilemma in. Throughout the whole movie, I think.
Yeah. What did you think of the ending of him finding a queen egg?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty cool. I wanted to see more. I wanted to see where he was going with it.
Okay.
And it made me grasp onto the movie more, I guess.
Okay.
Wanting it.
I think also him finding it and then him taking that responsibility, like, okay, I killed, kind of like with Prince of Persia, where at a certain point they say the conqueror of your city and the savior of your city at the same time. You know, he's the conqueror of those the Formex, and then he's the savior of the Formex too. You know what I mean? Like, it was,
yeah,
I liked that about it.
Well, you look at the queen could have just killed him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the aging queen.
Because, mm-hmm, I mean, the species was pretty much cleared out.
Yeah.
Except for this egg.
Mm-hmm.
And she could have gotten some kind of revenge.
Yeah.
But then her species would have ended.
Mm-hmm.
And by her not killing Ender, she saw that he was very upset, mm-hmm, as well.
Exactly.
And I'm sure that the point I got was that she realized that he was very sad about what he did.
Yeah.
And the only way for her species to survive, mm-hmm, was him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can totally see that. That she didn't kill him because, well, what other choice did she have?
Yeah.
Revenge.
Revenge or survival. The future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The thought was, while you were talking too, is like you had the perfect balance when he did allude to it, where Graf told him, you have the killer instinct of Peter or his brother, and then you have to have the empathy of your sister. You, mm-hmm, have to be able to combine both. And you saw it. I'm going to destroy you, but then I will help you build, and I'll get you this planet that you need.
Yeah.
I thought that was really a good dual, dual
meaning.
Meaning, mm-hmm, and a, yeah, dual personality. Like, all of us are like that. We have the capability of destroying somebody, but then we have the capability of helping them and saving them all at the same time. Yeah. All of us have that chance and opportunity in life.
Hopefully.
Yeah. You know, like little things that you do and all that stuff.
Man, so. I can conquer the world. In a good way.
Yeah. Well, again, it's nothing, it's not bad, you know? Like, all of us can. All of us can be better, and all of us can help each other to be better.
Yeah. But some people choose not to.
Yeah, true.
Anyways, here, okay, are deep thoughts.
So the whole idea of attacking, though. So they went to attack to stop all future battles.
Yes.
So would you agree with that? Like, in real life, would you agree with that? Did you find that believable? Like, oh, that's a good reason to go do that.
Yes. Because there's this little thing that happened in the 40s called World War II, because back in the 20s or, you know, the teens, we didn't actually defeat Germany. We just kind of said, yeah, we're done. Huh. And Germany said, yeah, we're done. Oh, hey, Germany, here's the bill. And so that led directly to World War II. So, yes, I can see total victory.
Get a face tattoo of Maze Rackham.
Yeah, it was weird.
Why did he do... What, did he do it because he was of his people, or did he do it because of the Formex? I couldn't understand that.
I felt it was a people thing.
His people. He said his dad was Amari.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like a Maori tattoo, yeah. I mean, I think that's what it, that's all that it is.
Did you like Ben Kingsley as Mazer Rackham?
I like Ben Kingsley in just about everything.
Yeah.
I don't think there's been a thing where I haven't seen our movie, I haven't seen him I don't like.
Yeah,
he'll be in just about anything. He won his Oscar, and he's like, okay, I'm done. I can be in anything I want.
Iron Man 3.
Oh, don't even get me started.
I think he did a good job there. I mean, it's kind of a goofy role when it comes down to it, but I don't know.
Yeah, do not get me started.
Wide range.
What about Harrison Ford? Yeah. Colonel Graf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, nobody plays an angry older guy like Harrison Ford.
Just by a Super Bowl commercial. Super Bowl. I'm not talking to you anymore.
What did you guys think of Viola Davis? I was actually, like, so watching it again, I was like, oh, yeah, she is in this movie. Yeah. I forgot.
I don't remember her character from the book, but I don't think she was given enough screen time, honestly.
No.
Not in Ender's Game, no. No, pretty small role.
Very small role.
I don't know. Is that role in the book pretty big? Yeah. Or?
Well, no,
like,
it's
like
not
I bigger. Said, I don't remember that character at all.
Yeah.
Okay, so Major Anderson in the book was, I don't think he was a psychologist. I think he was just part of the rank and file of the school, from what I remember. So it's like, okay, so they're going to use Major Anderson, but that's all. I think it was more of a name, more of just the name instead of anything else. But I liked it. I liked how they tried to psychoanalyze him while playing a game.
Yeah. And she was going to tell him it was a game, but Harrison Ford came, nope. And he pointed his finger. Because watch it. Watch Harrison Ford movies. At some point, he will start talking with his finger. He will point it. And
it's fairly crooked, too.
Yeah.
Did he point it at the Super Bowl commercial?
Yeah, because the dog was going upstairs, and he's like, cancel that order. And then he gets a pallet of dog food. That's a lot of dog food. Man, we've discussed a lot of stuff.
Yes, we have.
This podcast.
So I went a little
deep thoughts. Ender's Game and Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah.
And Dave's inability to start a podcast.
Yep.
Dude, that's always going to be a problem with mine because I'm always like, can't start it.
You
it
do grand.
Goes a little crazy.
All right, guys.
Wait. Did you also like Bean's character, the guy who played Bean, and the other guy? The Indian guy. Did you like those two?
I enjoyed the cast of characters around him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How the one bully and his, how he became one of his, commanders.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the cast of characters around him.
Yeah.
I thought they did a really well job, all the actors and all that. So, but would you like a sequel to this?
I would. I totally would. It would be I would love to see him going to find a place for them and then other things to see his life.
I would like to see that as well, but what I would really liked if they would have filmed Ender's Shadow at this exact same time.
Yeah, I agree. Cass is a bit older. I guess
Ender's
could.
Ender's Shadow is like, it's Ender's Game, Ender's Shadow.
They're happening at the same time.
Right.
Well, actually, Ender's Game starts early. Seems like it starts earlier, or around the same time. Because if you're following Bean, Bean's a little bit younger than Ender.
Bean. Yeah,
and Ender's Shadow is Bean's movie and
Bean's book.
Bean's book. I just don't know if they could do that. Personally speaking, Ender's Shadow. I don't think they could have.
They shoot two movies at the same time. For trilogies all the time.
Yeah.
But
true.
It could have been good.
Yeah. But
it still could be good.
Oh yeah. They could do another Bean, like
new cast.
Well, in Ender Shadow they do a little bit of Ender, but they do a lot of Bean. You could just choose another Bean and be like, okay, let's move on.
Well, sequels now they come out fairly quick. But back in the day, sequels were a good 5 years apart.
Yeah.
You know, those original Star Wars movies, those weren't within a couple of years. They were like 5 years apart.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, you could definitely... I mean, you might have to get a new cast.
Yeah.
Because aren't they all supposed to be pretty young?
Yeah.
So you'd probably have to get a new cast, but as far as continuing the story, I think it's wide open.
Do you think they could do... Do you think... Because they're not going to make a movie. Do you think they would do... do you think this would work as a TV series, too?
Mm. I don't know.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Some of his other stuff he could do, but... Like Orson Scott Card's, I'd rather see like the Redemption of Christopher Columbus past watch.
Yeah,
as a TV series,
okay,
that would be interesting to me, but not necessarily Ender's Game.
Agreed.
Okay. Yeah. No, this is the question. Yeah. Jake, sorry, I interrupted. You were going to ask a question.
I don't remember that.
Was it going to be about
the train left the station? I was not on that train.
So did it exceed expectations, or did it, just meet expectations, or whatever?
It met my expectations because, like I said, it's pretty much the book. I mean, there is a side story of his brother and sister going on and doing stuff, but that was not needed in the book. So I'm kind of glad it wasn't in the movie.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe he was paid by the words.
So.
No.
It just got to your expectations, but it didn't exceed them where...
No. Honestly, I didn't expect a lot at Ender's Game because, like, that was one I just didn't see in the theater.
Yeah.
So, I don't know why I didn't see it in the theater.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't see it.
My brother-in-law loves Ender's Game.
The movie.
The book, the movie, everything about it. Yeah.
I saw it in theaters. I thought it was great.
Oh, yeah.
Really good theater movie.
That might have changed my opinion if I would have seen it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it exceeded my expectations. I didn't really have any expectations. Yeah. I just wanted to go see a Harrison Ford movie, pretty much. And which he wasn't super huge in it, but, you know, I didn't really think of much of it, and I think I heard somebody say that it was a good movie. So I just, all right, I'll go watch it. Watched it, and now just talking about it makes me even like it even more.
Yeah,
you know,
like watching it. I didn't watch it in theater, but like now, like when you saying it's better in the theater, yeah, watching it now, it's like. Yeah, this would have been better in the theater.
I mean,
just like watching it once.
Well, in the theater. You get the loud theater experience, and there's a lot of loud.
Yes, there is.
Bangs and booms and.
And there's a lot of emotional. Drive like Viola Davis and then Harrison Ford, like those certain points with those child actors, like it's just like very emotional.
It's got 62% on Rotten Tomatoes, so it's
good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I also feel that the theater experience, you're more focused on a movie. You're at home watching it. There's a lot of distractions. And nowadays when you can just easily pause a movie, go away for a few days, and then come back to it.
Yeah.
True.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's easier just to fall away from something, where watching something in a theater, you're just focused for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. Would I want a sequel? Yeah, but I want Ender's Shadow with the same cast at the same time. So,
I would. I mean, I'm not gonna cry if we don't ever get one.
So you're a maybe in.
The well, same. I mean, if one came out, I'd definitely go watch it. Probably either opening weekend or the opening week.
Okay. Do you think? Okay, this came to me. Do you think that they would remake this in the future so that they could do more than just Ender's Game and then do like Ender Shadow or like do more of a series in it? Right. I'm just wondering. Do you think
if the books ever get to like
legendary status,
well, like to where Lord people are reading them in schools, you know, it's like a school read. I don't know.
Yeah.
Some
probably
some,
not.
Some schools they do read it. Well, I think in Utah they do.
Yeah.
University of North Virginia. teaches there. So.
We did in college in an English class. Someone brought up Ender's Game, and that's how I was introduced to it. Mm-hmm. Is
okay.
Someone did a paper, like they brought in a paper, and we read some of it. And we just talked about it. It was pretty interesting.
You know, they normally don't make movies unless the book is really good.
Yeah,
and it does really good. And I could see maybe in the future. Yeah. I don't know. I would see them remaking the first one, yeah, just so that they could make a trilogy, so you know, a little faster. Okay. Yeah. Good question.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll live to see.
So a good maybe, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely want to watch it. I'd see a sequel if they did it right away, kind of like what Lord of the Rings did. Yeah. Right after each other, and then
the Hobbit?
Released it. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe not The Hobbit, maybe Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, not The Hobbit. Hobbit was good, not as good as Lord of the Rings.
Young Legolas.
Well, but he looks older.
Computer animated Legolas.
Yes. That's Legolas? Benjamin Button's Legolas.
All right. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed us talking about Ender's Game.
And other stuff.
And other things.
Deep stuff.
Please rate, subscribe, and leave a comment. Tell us what you thought about Ender's Game. Thank you so much. And remember, have a good day and make good choices.